Okay, tonight I'd like to pick up where we left off in the book of Leviticus, and we left off in chapter 13. When dealing with chapter 13, we're dealing with a portion of Scripture where God is setting forth a lot of rules, regulations in regards to what the Bible refers to as leprosy. Now, I want to make something abundantly clear. When the Bible talks about leprosy, it's not the type of leprosy that we are familiar with. You know, in other words, the chronic leprosy that we've heard about, there's been a lot of misconceptions about leprosy. As a matter of fact, you know, I don't want to read this whole thing here, but just from a medical perspective, it talks about different forms of leprosy. But I want to make this clear simply before we get started, because when we start reading about what God is talking about here, there's going to be some question marks saying, well, this isn't classic leprosy. But there's so much spiritual symbolism or application to be drawn from what we read here. Basically, it says in this medical guide that leprosy is a chronic but only mildly contagious disease caused by infection with bacteria of the species, and then it gives you this long Latin name, and also known as Hansen's disease. The leprosy occurs mainly in countries between the 30th parallels, and then it goes on and it says that there are basically two types of leprosy, and one is... it's not that infectious, okay? But at the same time, you know, there's so much misunderstanding about what leprosy is, because, you know, one type is that leprosy will begin to attack the nerve cells, nerve endings of a body, and that's what makes it so bad, is that you lose all feeling of touch, and you lose that sensation. And I think that a lot of times we just haven't got a clue of just how important a touch is. But it's got such a profound spiritual implication. I look around us today and we are living in a world that is just inundated with moral lepers in this sense. They have lost all sensitivity to what is moral, what is right, what is upstanding. And they've lost that touch. This one particular book that I had read, and as a matter of fact, I read it a couple of times, it's called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. It's by this... Dr. Brand, okay, and he works with lepers, and he has for many, many years. And there's a leprosarium, there's only one leprosarium in our country, and there's very few people in it. But worldwide, leprosy, there's only about, let's say, between 5 and 15 million people who have leprosy.
Today's worldwide.
Okay, that's almost a drop in a bucket compared to 6 billion people that we're talking about. I'm just simply saying that one of the worst things about leprosy is that you lose your sense of touch, feeling. And what happens there is that a lot of deformities ends up happening because of that. For example, when you no longer have any sensitivity in your eyes, for example, you quit blinking. And when you quit blinking, then you get dust and irritants and everything else in your eyes, which will begin to cause all kinds of infections and bacteria and problems, and people lose their eyesight. Or if you, let's say, were to break a bone, you don't even feel it. You're walking around on a broken bone. So then you become, your foot becomes deformed, or your hand becomes deformed. He was even giving exciting some examples in here with some lepers in India, where they had some young boys that had cases of leprosy. They lost all feeling and touch in their hands. And so they, just to show off to other people, they would take knives or sharp objects and they'd stick it right through their hand and go in one eye and say, look, hey, look what I could do. And because they don't feel any pain, you see. And, you know, the doctors become infuriated with these kids because they think, hey, this is great, I don't feel any pain. But pain is such a tremendous gift from God. Because if we didn't have the sensation of pain, all of us would be, you know, completely deformed one way or the other, because we could stick our hand in the fire, not feel any pain, and completely have a ruined hand, or stick it in scalding hot water, you know. Mm-hmm. So leprosy, you know, it is a disease that, you know, even though it's not highly contagious, it is contagious, but at the same token, it's what it does in terms of, you know, destroying the body. And look at how many moral lepers are in our church today. I don't want to get off on a soapbox here, but I'm going to say this, okay? It's that we got this election, and we got a situation where we've got a virtual tie. We've got half the country voting for one person, half the voting for another person. But one person, what he stands for in regards to, let's say, abortion, unquestionably, this is the murder of another human being, all right? Now, how many people who claim to be Christian have voted for this person? I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm making no apologies for it, everybody who voted for this man who has waged war on the unborn, and who has set out to destroy these children are an accomplice to murder in God's eyes. In God's eyes. And people don't see that. Why? Because they're moral lepers. They don't see that, hey, what's going on here? How can you claim to, you know, to be a follower of Christ and say, hey, well, I'm pro-choice? It's so totally inconsistent. And I was talking to a guy today. He says, well, you know, it's just a one-issue thing. I'm going to tell you something. We are no different than if people who lived in Nazi Germany, and if they knew what Adolf Hitler was doing with the gas chambers and the Jews, if they voted for him on any other ground, saying, well, it's the economy, it's this and that and the other thing, so I'm going to vote for this guy, they are guilty of being an accomplice to murder. There's no two ways about it.
That's right.
Okay, and what I'm saying here is that what's happening to us as a nation, we are becoming moral lepers. We don't feel. We have that. We lost that sensation to be able to distinguish what's happening to us. We are becoming totally deformed. Everything's being put out of joint. And what's the problem? It's, you know, we no longer can feel. All right? Everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes. That's why when we got this guy running for president, and he this is what he actually said. He says, well, when I try to make a decision, I always ask, what would Jesus do? To me, that's the same as blasphemy. If he thinks for one second that Jesus would say, yeah, go ahead, stick a scissors up this kid's in the back of his skull, suck out his brains, and throw him in a garbage can. That's what Jesus would do. Oh, yeah, that's what he would do.
Is this Thor?
Thor.
Yes. He said that he asked himself, what would Jesus do?
Yeah, isn't this blasphemy? No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's like, how many people would just fall right in line with him?
Right.
I'm just simply saying, I think it's time, you know, that we took a good, hard, cold look at where we are, and we have become a nation of moral lepers who can no longer, you know, have the moral sensitivity to see, hey, this is right and this is wrong, this is good, this is evil, and this is of the devil and this is of God, this is of the flesh. I mean, we have lost all discernment. We have become moral lepers. So when we start reading this chapter on leprosy, a couple things you got to keep in mind. It's not just talking about the classic chronic leprosy that I've talked about here. It's talking about any type of contagious disease that can show up on the skin. All right? We've got to keep that in mind. Like, anybody here not have had poison oak or poison ivy? We all know how irritating and frustrating to have that. Now, basically, if a guy comes to work, and this has happened to me before, comes to work and he's got poison oak all over him, you know, everything in my mind says, hey, don't shake hands with this guy. Get away from this guy. Don't touch what he has touched. Because I've had poison oak, and I know it's no fun. Right?
Yeah.
So basically what God is saying, that when people have various skin rashes or various things, God wants the priest to determine, is this the contagious? Because if it's contagious, the person has to be isolated. They have to be put outside the camp. They have to be put outside the community. And outside the community, they have to stay there for a certain length of time, and the priest will check on them to see if it spreads. If it spreads, he declares it's leprosy, and they are a leper until it's healed. And what God was trying to get across to these people, it's not just the physical aspects of this. What leprosy symbolizes, what it represents, what it prefigures is sin. And sin and ungodliness are highly contagious. I've said that dozens of times over the years. It's highly contagious. And if you're going to hang around with certain sinners, you're going to become like them. In other words, we're all sinners. But if you want to hang around with drug addicts, you're going to become a drug addict. You want to hang around with the immoral, you're going to become immoral. You want to hang around with blasphemers, you'll become a blasphemer. Why? Because it's all so contagious.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind when we begin reading this, all right? Beginning with verse 1 of chapter 13, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on his skin of his body a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, and it becomes an infectious of leprosy of the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron, the priest, or to one of his sons, the priest. And the priest shall look at the mark of the skin and the body, and if the hair of the infection has turned white, and if the infection appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is an infection of leprosy. When the priest has looked at him, he shall pronounce him unclean. Now, the priest wasn't acting as a physician. He wasn't acting as a doctor. He was just the one to discern, okay, is this mark, is this scab, is this rash, whatever it is this contagious? He had to make the determination if it was contagious. And if he wasn't sure, the person had to be isolated, and he had to monitor it. Okay? the priest is very significant because what God is trying to bring across here is spiritual discernment of what's involved here. And he says in verse 4, but if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body, and it does not appear to be deeper than his skin, and the hair on it has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate him who has an infection for 7 days. 7 days is number of completeness, number of totality, the number of perfection. It says that the priest shall look at him on the seventh day, and if in his eyes the infection has not changed, and the infection has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him for 7 more days. So it's just a double precaution. If it looks like, hey, this isn't going anywhere, but I want to be sure. See, this is what priests need to do. This is what spiritual leaders need to do. They need to be discerning in what's happening to their people in their congregation. Mm-hmm. Okay? Nowadays, we've become such moral lepers that they say, hey, we're going to be tolerant and all-inclusive of everybody. If you want a same-sex marriage, come on in. Be part of the group. Be part of this. And that's what's happening to us. In verse 6, it says, and the priest shall look at him again on the seventh day, and if the infection has faded, the mark has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. Now, again, the emphasis is what God is doing here is he's giving them a guidelines, that's very important where people will not become sick or infected. Look at, for example, smallpox. Smallpox is an infection. I guess they had all kinds of blotches all over their skin, but it was so highly contagious and it was deadly. But at the turn of the century, they were able to wipe out smallpox. But, you read some of history, and there's all kinds of different examples you can cite. One out there, another, where, people who weren't, let's say, exposed to certain diseases, and other people come in carrying this, they can wipe out virtually total populations because of it. So God was so adamant about quarantining people, okay, who come down with any kind of infectious disease. And that's what this chapter is basically dealing with. But we have to look beyond just the physical, because God was going right to the spiritual. For every physical, reality, there's a spiritual parallel to it. And that's what he's dealing with regards to people being clean and unclean. He says here, in verse 7, he says, but if the scab spreads further on the skin after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again to the priest, and the priest shall look, and if the scab has spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. When the infection of leprosy is on a man, then he shall be brought to the priest. The priest shall look at him, and if there is a white swelling in the skin, and it has turned the hair white, and there is quickly a raw flesh in the swelling, it is a chronic leprosy on the skin of his body, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and he shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. In other words, instead of isolating and checking on him, if it's so obvious that he's got a communicable disease, he just simply says, hey, you're unclean, get out of here. He talks about it being if there's a quick raw flesh and a swelling. In other words, if something is obvious, then you can say, you don't just monitor the person's progress, you just simply say, you can no longer be part of the congregation. He talks about it being raw flesh, and I think that's kind of significant because Paul talks about the deeds of the flesh. And he talks about it in Galatians, he talks about it in, I think, Ephesians and Corinthians. But I think it's kind of interesting because he talks about the deeds of the flesh. He says in Galatians, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I have forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, these things are highly contagious in the spiritual realm. All right, and if it's obvious, then you stay away from people. I mean, it's very obvious. If a person, let's say, is a drug addict, is a drug pusher, stay away from that person. Okay, mm-hmm. It's so obvious that they are not saved, and they're going to contaminate you mm-hmm. if you stick around with them. In verse 12, it says, if the leprosy breaks out further on the skin, and the leprosy covers all the skin of him who has the infection from his head even to his feet, as far as the priest can see, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the leprosy has covered all of his body, he shall pronounce clean him who has the infection. It has all turned white, and he is clean.
Isn't that weird? You wouldn't think that would be the case.
I don't understand that.
Okay, let's read this over, okay? In verse 12, and if the leprosy breaks out further on the skin, and the leprosy covers all the skin of him who has the infection from his head even to his feet, as far as the priest can see. Then the priest shall look, and behold, if the leprosy has covered all of his body, he shall pronounce clean him who has the infection. It has turned white, and he is clean. But whenever raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. In other words, there are certain kind of skin diseases that you can have that are not infectious. Well, in other words, it could be an allergic reaction, okay? We've all seen people who have allergic reaction, like they're strawberry, eating strawberries, stuff like that. That person could be red from head to toe, okay? But they're not infectious, are they? They just have an allergic reaction. Like, for example, eczema, and he even mentioned this here. It is a non-infectious inflammatory disease of the skin that takes the form of redness, blistering, crusting, and scaling. Okay, that's what he's talking about here. Certain types of, you know, rashes or skin diseases are not contagious. And if they're not contagious, then he's referred to as called clean. Okay? So that's what he's dealing with here. It, when you, at the surface, it looks like, well, gosh, you know, what's the problem? The key here is contagious. What is contagious and what's not contagious? I think if we read a little bit further, we'll get a better handle on this. In verse 14, but whenever raw flesh appears, in other words, where there's oozing and there's pus, where there's a discharge, like for example, if you got poison oak, you scratch, there's going to be a discharge. Okay, there's going to be an oozing. It's not just a flaking of the skin. All right. In verse 15. It says, and the priest shall look at the raw flesh, and he shall pronounce him unclean. The raw flesh is unclean, it is leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turns again and is changed to white, then he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall look at him, and behold, if the infection has turned to white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. Who has the infection, he is clean. In other words, he just has to monitor this. Certain diseases, like poison oak, for example, or poison ivy, if it runs its course, then you're no longer going to be infected. So he declares him to be clean, all right? Because there's a change that takes place. Again, the same situation that can be applied spiritually. A person can be living in sin, but if they change their ways, then they can be referred to as clean. And then he says that, verse 18, it says, and when the body has a boil on its skin and it is healed, and in the place of the boil there is a white swelling or a reddish white bright spot, then it shall be shown to the priest, and the priest shall look at it, and behold, if it appears to be lower than the skin, the hair on it has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an infection of the leprosy. It has broken out in a boil. In other words, I talked about if something on the surface of your skin goes deeper, it may appear that it was healing, but then after closer examination, he sees that it's gone deeper into the skin. Then it's something that he refers to as being unclean. And then in verse 21 it says, but if the priest looks at it, and behold, there is no white hairs in it, and it's not lower than the skin, and it's faded, then the priest shall isolate him for 7 days. And if it spreads farther on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an infection. But if the bright spot remains in its place and does not spread, it is only the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or if the body sustains in its skin a burn by fire, and the raw flesh that burned becomes a bright spot, a reddish white or white, then the priest shall look at it, and if the hair on the bright spot is turned white, then it appears to be deeper than the skin, it is leprosy. It has broken out on the burn. Therefore, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an infection of leprosy. But if the priest looks at it, indeed there is no white hair in the bright spot, and it is no longer deeper than the skin, but is dim, then the priest shall isolate him for 7 days, and the priest shall look at him on the seventh day, and if it spreads further than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an infection of leprosy. But if the bright spot remains in its place and has not spread in the skin, but is dim, it is a swelling from the burn, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is only the scab of or the scar of the burn. Okay, it's just simply dealing with just different skin ailments. Okay, that's what he's dealing with here. Just different things that he has to discern: is this contagious or is it not? And that's the thing we've got to learn. And we know it today. Okay. There's no question about it. What we understand today, they didn't understand 3,500 years ago when Moses wrote this thing, all right, what microbes were, what bacteria was, what diseases were, anything like that. These are things that God was totally familiar with, and he was trying to get his people to discern things. I mean, we're talking about the world of the unseen. This is what God was really having people, you know, trying to conditioned them to understand that certain things are going to not only make you sick, but going to make other people sick if you hang around them. And the reason is billions and billions of microbes are crawling, squirming, squiggling all over your body right now. But don't worry, nearly 95% of them, all microbes are harmless. Okay? Some of the other 5% can make you sick, or so remember to wash your hands so often. This is what God was dealing with these people. You got to wash, you got to clean, you got to separate, you got to, you know, because one of the things God was trying to show these people was saying, hey, be holy as I am holy, and holiness basically means being separated. We're going to have to separate ourselves from things that are going to defile us and make us unclean. So just picking up where he left off here in that verse 29, now if a man or a woman has an infection of the head or the beard, then the priest shall look at the infection, and if it appears to be deeper than the skin, there is a thin yellowish hair in it, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a scale. It is leprosy of the head or the beard. But if the priest looks at the infection of the scale, and it appears to be no deeper than the skin, there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall isolate the person with the scaly infection for 7 days. And on the seventh day, the priest shall look at the infection. If the scale has not spread, no yellowish hair has grown in it, and its appearance of the scale is no deeper than the skin, then he shall shave himself and shall not shave the scale, and the priest shall isolate the person with the scale 7 more days. Then on the seventh day, the priest shall look at the scale, and if the scale is not spread in the skin, it appears to be no deeper than the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scale spreads further in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall look at him, and if the scale has spread in the skin, the priest need not look for the yellowish hair, he is unclean. In other words, it's constantly got to look for what things are defiling and spreading, okay? And we've got to make that moral, you know, parallel, that moral example, because today we are living in a society that is just flooded and gutted, like I said, with moral efforts. People have lost all sensitivity to, you know, their environment in terms of what's it doing to them, okay? I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong sitting down here watching a TV program, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you sit here and watch, you know, day after day, week after week, soap opera after soap opera after soap opera, that's going to cause you to become a moral leper. I mean, that's just one tiny, small example, but I'm just simply saying that we've got to be very careful what we, you know, engage in and what we do and what we feed upon, because it's going to have that kind of effect. And then once you become a moral leper, you're basically contagious and you can contaminate other people. And I think that, you know, all we have to do is just look at this election even in itself and see where people, you know, come down as far as their morality. They're saying one thing, doing another, because they've lost all sensitivity in terms of spiritual discernment as far as God is concerned.
Yeah. Are you going to expound upon the yellow and the black? I was curious why it changed from white to yellow or black.
What God is dealing with here is all kinds of different, you know, diseases or infections or skin rashes and things like this. So I'm not sure, you know, which one he's referring to. I think the thing that he's looking for, though, is anything that's running, anything that's oozing would be a discoloration.
But black is okay, but not.
Well, we're talking about black hair, okay? In other words, black hair, to me, would seem like, okay, then that's not a discoloration.
Yeah.
All right. If there's a discoloration, you know, then there's a chance that there's infection, or there's a chance that something can spread.
Right.
See, the thing is, the word leprosy here is something that's just simply used as a broad term to cover all kinds of contaminating, spreading diseases. Mm-hmm. It's not the classic chronic leprosy that we have grown up to understand. Okay, it certainly can include that. There's no question about it. All right. And then it says 37. It says, if in his sight the scale has remained, however, black hair has grown in it, and the scale has healed, he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Verse 38. And when a man or a woman has a bright spot on the skin of the body, even the white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and if the bright spot on the skin of their bodies are faint white, it is eczema that has broken out on the skin, he is clean. Okay, now here's a disease. He has eczema. And I don't know, according to this eczema is basically something that's non-infectious. It's a non-infectious inflammatory disease of the skin that takes the form of redness, blistering, and crusting, and scaling. The well-known type of eczema seen in infancy and childhood, medically called some name, tends to run in families where there is asthma or hay fever, and the skin typically breaks out in eczemous patches, particularly on the forearms and the backs and knees and so on and so forth. So, you know, simply because a person may have an appearance of a skin disease or a disease or something like that, there still has to be the investigation by the priest. And I think that too is significant because, you know, the Bible says that judge not, lest you be judged. So simply because a person may appear to have something that we might deem as being contagious morally, we've got to exercise discernment. In other words, we just can't pass judgment on certain people simply because we think, oh, man, they've got some kind of disease, they're sick, or something of that nature. In other words, there are certain people who live in a type of legalism where they feel like, okay, if a woman wears makeup, then there's something morally wrong with her. If a person has an alcoholic beverage, there's something morally wrong with them. See, these people are passing judgment on something that God's saying is clean. All right? So there has to be a discernment by the priest, by somebody with spiritual insight, all right? Simply because if we may perceive a person to have some kind of contagious disease, that might not necessarily be the case. Just like in this verse 39, where we're dealing with eczema, that person is clean, all right? But why? Simply because it's not contagious. And verse 40 says, now if a man loses a hair on his head and he is bald, he is clean. Okay, this is the natural order of things, okay, Dan? So you're clean, okay? You know, there are certain kind of infections or diseases that will make you lose your hair. So he's just saying, in the natural order of things, if a man becomes bald, he's still clean. And it says in verse 42, but if on the bald head or the bald forehead there occurs a reddish-white infection, it is leprosy breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look at him, and if the swelling of the infection is reddish-white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, like the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His infection is on his head. And when you have an infection on your head, again, there's a spiritual symbolism or there's a significance of that. Paul says, hey, put on a helmet of salvation, and that we are to be renewed by the renewing of our mind. Okay, our thought life is all important. So, and Paul tells us, as a man thinketh, so is he. And very often, this is where the sin, the infection begins, is in the head. So, okay, even though God is dealing with something, a physical phenomena, it's the spiritual that's all important. And it says here in that verse 45, okay, and this is very important too. It says, as for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. Okay, for a person who has an infection, they are to separate themselves, cover their mouth, okay, so that they don't spread this infection. And they're, you know, when people come close to them and say, hey, I'm unclean, don't come near me, all right? I mean, you know what the easiest way to spread infection is today?
Shake hands.
The foremost way to transmit disease, okay? And so here God is saying, hey, that if a person is declared unclean, then he's to keep his distance and tell people, I'm clean, unclean, and to cover his mouth. Mm-hmm. And again, to the natural mind, 3,500 years ago, and this may seem like a very meaningless exercise in futility, but God knew all about microbes and diseases and germs and things like bacteria, you know, and he's setting down some laws here. But the most important thing was to put it symbolized spiritually. And in verse 46, he shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Again, it's the isolation, the quarantine, that's all important so it doesn't spread. Same thing spiritually. That if somebody comes in that, let's say, is living in sin, the church has to say, hey, look, you know, you have to either repent of this or you have to disassociate with this fellowship. The church won't do this today, though. They want to be all-inclusive to everybody, so everybody's coming down with this communicable disease of one thing or another, right?
You got it right.
Okay, but God was trying to emphasize, you need to quarantine, you need to separate, you need to isolate, and you need to, basically, in church terms, you need to excommunicate. Otherwise, this person is going to infect all the rest. And that's what's happening, isn't it? I mean, all over this country. I mean, that's why I'm saying I shake my head in total disbelief that this country claims to be a Christian nation, and yet we are in this dead heat in this election.
Yeah. That kind of speaks volumes of what the condition of our country is.
And yet, you know, I'm guarantee you that 80, 90% of the people who have voted for a man who's has never met an abortion he don't like will claim to be Christian. And I'm just simply saying it just shows that we have become such moral leopards that we can't have that kind of discernment. Mm-hmm. And we can always justify, well, you know, he does this good and does that good. And I just shake my head and say, hey, in God's eyes, what is God saying? Because to throw a vote behind this guy is to me to be an accomplice to a murderer. Mm-hmm. There's no two ways about it. Mm-hmm. Now we deal with the garments. I think this is very, very significant because look what God says in verse 47. When a garment has a mark of leprosy on it, whether it be a wool garment or a linen garment, whether in the warp or woof of linen or of wool, whether in leather or an article made of leather, if the mark is greenish or reddish in the garment or in the leather or in the warp or the woof, or in any article of the leather, it is leprous mark and it shall be shown to the priest. Basically, the warp, it's a basic foundation of material of the structure of the entity of parallel of the yarns, whatever. In other words, the warp and the woof is the basic fabric of an article. Well, God is basically saying in the warp and the woof, whatever, you know, it's that if there is some kind of fungus, mildew, something there in the garment itself, it is contagious, it is leprous, okay, that it is to be cut out, all right? I mean, this is pretty basic. What if somebody took a handkerchief out of their head, out of their pocket and blew their nose and sneezed into it and then say, oh, you want to use this? Now, they're not shaking your hand. They're giving you a garment, aren't they? They're giving you a piece of cloth, aren't they? But God is trying to say, hey, things, inanimate objects themselves can transmit disease, can transmit sickness. And we're dealing with garment here. All right? Apply that spiritually. Okay, look at Madison Avenue, look at Hollywood, look at our entertainment industry. How many of the garments, for example, or the clothing today, or the fashions today, are making people sin? I mean, I was reading the USA Today and other magazines, every time they have a stupid Grammy Award or some award, you got more and more women walking up with virtually nothing on. They want to see who can shock the most, who can titillate the most, who can offend the most with what they wear. Now, you tell me that clothes can't do this spiritually, okay? In other words, contaminate people. So when God is talking about there the warp and the wolf, I mean, to us it's like, man, I'm tripping and stumbling over just trying to read this thing, okay? But there's a real profound spiritual significance to it. He says in verse 50, then the priest shall look at the mark and shall quarantine the article with the mark for 7 days. He shall then look at the mark on the seventh day. If the mark has spread in the garment, whether in the warp or the woof of the or the leather, whatever the purpose for which the leather is used, the mark is leprous malignancy, it is unclean. So he shall burn the garment, whether the warp or the woof, in the wool or the linen, or any article of leather in which the mark occurs, for it is a leprous malignancy, it shall be burned in the fire. But if the priest shall look, and indeed the mark has not spread in the garment, either in the warp or the woof, or the any other article of leather, then the priest shall order them to wash the thing in which the mark occurs, and he shall quarantine it for 7 more days. After the article with the mark has been washed, the priest shall again look, and if the mark has not changed in its appearance, even though the mark has not spread, it is unclean, you shall burn it in the fire, whether an eating away has produced barrenness on the top or on the front of it. Then if the priest shall look, and if the mark has faded after it has been washed, then he shall tear it out of the garment or out of the leather, whether from the warp or from the woof. And if it appears again in the garment, whether in the warp or in the woof, or in any article of leather, it is an outbreak. The article with the mark shall be burned in fire. And in the garment, whether the warp or the woof, or any article of leather, a letter from which the mark has departed, when you wash it, it shall be washed a second time, and it shall be clean. This is the law of the mark of leprosy in the garment of the wool or the linen, whether in the warp or the woof, or in any article of leather, for pronouncing it as clean or unclean. And, you know, he's dealing with here this basically clothing, all right? I remember, just as a kid, I remember we our school had some kind of clothing drive, and we had to go from door to door getting clothing. And I'll never forget it because it really, really frustrated me that I was getting this clothing for this clothing drive, and I ended up getting poison oak. And I know for this day it was because somebody gave me clothes that had poison oak on it.
Oh, God.
Okay? You know, you can get poison oak from just patting your dog already, but you can, clothing itself can, you know, carry communicable diseases where we can end up getting it from one another. And now it's talking about clothing. We don't have time to get into tonight, but then it talks about, you know, leprosy in the house. We'll get into this next week, but it talks about how when there's fungus or mold or mildew in a house, where the priest has to go in there, you got to get all your articles out of the house, and the priest will go in there, and he will check it out, and if it appears to be spreading, you got to cut it out, and you know, do everything you can to save the house. Okay, just like you did everything you can to save the garment here. But again, when he talks about leprosy in the house, when we get into the next chapter, you know, you look at, for example, what do you have in your house? I remember before I got saved, you know, you could walk in my house and you'd know immediately I wasn't saved because of what I had on the walls as far as pictures, my literature, my books. You could go into a house and how is it decorated? If you have pictures of Christ or, you know, edifying pictures or books or things, you go into a house where there's pornography hanging on the walls, or they got Ouija boards, or they got astrology charts and all this other stuff. You see what I'm saying? That in itself can become contaminating. Okay, just how you decorate your house can show a lot about you, all right? Now, I don't have time to get into that because I thought we would be able to get through two chapters tonight, but these are long chapters. This was 59 verses. The next chapter is 57 verses, so there's no way we can get through it, okay? I was hoping to get through both of those, but again, okay, I want to just emphasize this. When we read chapters like this, it is hard reading. It's dull reading, it's boring, it's monotonous, it's bland, whatever, and people just avoid it altogether. But we are told in Timothy that all Scripture is given to us for our reproof, for our instruction, for our edification, for, you know, our example, that this is given to us, God, for our spiritual growth and understanding, okay? So when you read something like this, we make a fatal mistake, I think, by just simply saying, well, this is something that was written for these idiots way back then. You know, no, it has a real profound spiritual application for us today. We just got to be able to make the connection, okay? If we don't make a connection, then we miss the point and it does go over our head. But the connection is the spiritual symbolism that's involved. That, you know, God went to great lengths to try to tell people, look, if somebody's got a disease that's infectious, get away from them. Mm-hmm. And that person's got to get their act cleaned up. Otherwise, they're going to contaminate everybody. Anybody have anyone to add or share?
John, I also wanted to point out that when you were saying wharf or wolf, both of those things, in the New International Version, it says woven or knitted material.
Yeah, but much better, woven or knitted. I even looked it up, and they didn't say woven or knitted, but basically it's basic fabric, you know, that's of an article. I tell you what, I'll get into this next week. Yeah. Does anybody have anyone to add or share?
Anything else you mean?
What's that? Oh.
What? Anybody want to have any? It's just that we shared anything
different. Oh, you didn't count. Anybody have? Anybody have anything real they want to share? Worthwhile?